Thank you once again for coming for the last talk of the day, at least by you. With me, Thomas Persson. He's a business developer at Digitalist Sweden. He has worked with tracking digital analytics since 2010 and has been a contributor to open source since 2007. What happens under the hood when you visit a website, and what data is actually shared about you and who can actually access this data? In this talk, Thomas will answer these questions. Please begin.
All right, thank you. Yeah, I'm getting a bit tired now. Last session for me, at least for this day. I'm really looking forward to having a long weekend after this. But let's push it over the finish line. So in this presentation, I will talk a little bit more on a higher level of about privacy on the web and what type of data, and try to explain what happens in, under the hood when we're visiting websites, and also talk about personal identifying information in relation to web analytics. And then finally, give you some examples of how to manage this in Matomo. So let's get started. Let's see if I can just find that correct window. Yeah, there I think. So yeah, I got the presentation already, so I will skip that. You probably know Digitalist at the time, so I will skip that so we can move forward. But here is the kind of issues we have right now with privacy, and the reason why I think a lot of organizations are moving away from tools like Google Analytics, but basically any cloud provider that is not provided by the EU. And trying to do the simple explanation here, at least. So this is me. I'm a citizen in Sweden. I live in Stockholm. So if I go to stockholm.se, where I can find a lot of information to me as a citizen, I live in Sweden, so that means that we have a law in Sweden called OSL. It's a Swedish law about publicity and secrecy, and it's been in place for quite some time. And that law applies to me as a Swedish citizen, but it applies to the organization running stockholm.se. We also have GDPR, which is an European law, and that applies to both of us as well, since EU is the level above us, so to speak. To provide this service, stockholm.se probably has a lot of service providers. They probably have a company doing their hosting, their development, and so on, maybe design work or whatever. So a lot of actors are involved in this work, and they all apply to these laws. So when stockholm.se write an agreement with these companies, these laws apply. OSL and GDPR applies to these contracts. The problem, though, is that when you start to write contracts with companies that are not part of the European Union, like, for instance, if you use Office 365 or if you sign up to use Google Analytics on your site, the problem here is that Microsoft or Google or other companies, or yeah, basically any cloud provider, they live under other laws. And in this particular example, we have something called the FISA 702. And that means that even though we write a contract with Microsoft, these laws will override that. And Microsoft can't do anything about that, even though they would like to. So this is kind of the main problem with using cloud services. And what FISA 702 actually says here is that if any American governmental institution basically requests for data in a Microsoft facility, they have to leave to give it to that organization, and they can't stop that in any way, at least not right now. So this means that any data that is stored in a facility owned by Microsoft or Google or whatever, and it doesn't matter if this their physical servers are in Europe, has to be you have to think about it as if it's readable by the American public organizations. And we'll look into a little bit more about the problems with this later on. So we will also look into the actual details. So Google Analytics is obviously what we discuss when we talk about Matomo. So yes, we need to think about when you use Google Analytics that we are leaking data to foreign powers like NSA and so on. We also have to think about that we're actually leaking personal data without having a consent. And this is an issue with GDPR in Europe. We're also selling data about our visitors, and that's more related to Google specifically. But historically, this started with quite big when the whistleblower Edward Snowden. That didn't start though then, but it actually got really, really clear to us that when he shared the NSA documents about what was happening, people started to realize how big this really was. So we talked about the law called FISA. It's actually called Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. It was a law created in USA to actually protect the American citizen, because there had been a lot of surveillance going on, phone surveillance mainly and other things, without any regulations in the United States. So it was actually created to protect American citizens. 9/11 was the event that happened, and that really changed how the American state started to act differently. So people at NSA has described this in many, many places, that there is a time before and after 9/11, and we'll see a little bit more about the statistics. They basically changed the laws to make it even easier to supervise the society, and in particular people that are not members of the United States. So Europe is a target market for this. There are a lot of systems in place at NSA. Some examples are systems called Upstream or Prism and Treasure Map. And this is basically systems that are snooping on internet traffic, phones and etc. And they have direct access to data centers at Google, Microsoft, Amazon, etc. So it's really a large scale. Also, we have to know that internet traffic is passing through American borders. And this means that it often gets stuck in this system called Upstream. We'll look into more details about how easily this actually happens and what type of data they can actually tap into. So, like, is this really a problem in a country like Sweden? Is this really something that government agencies use to approach Swedish citizens? So Sweden is a rather small country in Europe. We have about 10 million citizens. But the interesting part here is that Google, Amazon, Microsoft, and a lot of other companies, I think it was about 50 companies in the beginning after the Snowden incident, has started to report how often data is, they leave data to agencies, public agencies in the States. So this is the data from Google. And as you can see, it's been the growth here is pretty massive. So they have left out information about 235,000 accounts the first 6 months of 2020. The data is a bit lacking behind, but the numbers are actually growing. So the same period in Sweden, we had 370 cases from Google where they handed out information. And you can think about this as, okay, maybe this is information that the Swedish police is asking from NSA to give them. But that data is actually not included here. This is only data requested that American organizations ask for. So we don't know what this is, and it's totally out of our control. I did a research and checked for Google, Microsoft, and Apple, and as you can see, there's quite a lot of information handed out. And if you summarize this, it's actually 8 times a day data is requested about Swedish citizens from these 4 companies. So there is no doubt that this is a huge, huge problem. And because of this, we need to change the way, and I think this is extra critical if you're a public organization handling citizen data or whatever. It goes for private companies as well, but super important. So what I usually say is that the public sector needs to secure our infrastructure. We need to use open technologies such as Matomo, but that's just one thing of the problem. We need to secure the traffic between the residents and the authorities so it never leaves Europe. This is another problem that we saw, that if the internet traffic just passes through United States, it's much probable that it gets stuck in this surveillance network. So let's go into details of the web. So what happens when I visit 5 websites under the hood? So I did a little animation with a plugin called Lightbeam for Firefox. So what we're seeing here is what happens. These are requests that happen under the hood. And this is actually public sector websites or related in Sweden. And you can see the spider diagram on the left that all of them under the hood request information from Google in this case. They're using Google Analytics basically. So that means that Google can profile all these visits, not only on these particular websites, but they can create profiles on individual level on pretty sensitive sites. So yes, they use Google Analytics, and we need to remember that this is something that Google sells, of course. 83% of their revenue 2 years ago, I think, was coming from ad sales, basically. So it's a huge problem. So it's not just about the privacy and that they are leaking data. We are actually selling their behavior to Google. And Google, though, is just one part of the problem. You need to be aware of everything you do on your website. So this is another Swedish, it's actually the government website in Sweden, and I've been picking on them for a few years now. The good thing is that they have actually changed this now. So if you go to this site, they actually change how it works, and I think I affected them a bit. But the example is still good. So if you go to a page called Contact on the Swedish government site and you look under the hood, you do a request in your browser and it's sent to their server. And back we get HTML. You all know this. And in this HTML, we're actually requesting 33 other resources from 6 different domains. And for each of these requests, the way internet works is actually we're sending my IP address from my browser to every server. And if we dig down in this and look into a specific one of these requests, it's a little JavaScript called find.js, and it's coming from this domain dl.episerver.net. And what's interesting here is that with this request, we're actually also sending something called the header. The header contains another information that is called the referrer. We're also having information such as the language in my browser. We can see what browser I have in the user agent, etc., etc. So basically, the information shared with this server, dlepiserver.net, is the same kind of information that you use when you track data in Matomo, meaning all the sites that we request for information just to present our website is basically able to do the same profiling that we can do with Matomo or any other tool on our website. So you really need to control what type of resources you include on your websites, and they have to be within the European Union. if you are a European company. All right, so there are some web standards where you can actually try to block this. There's something called the referrer policy. And if you set this to no referrer, you actually can block sending the referrer information. The problem, though, is that this standard is not respected by Microsoft. So all Microsoft browsers will send that anyway. And it's also not respected by iPhones. So Safari and iPhones will send that even though you try to block it, meaning quite a few percentages of the visitors you will have on your website, since it's quite common software combinations or hardware combinations. All right, so to summarize, we do 26 calls. 8 of these calls goes to 4 different domains in the United States, and in all these we share the IP address and the URL, meaning that all these domains can basically start profiling our visitors. All right, so the next things, because that's really about the URLs and the IP addresses that are sensitive information that we need to manage and handle in our Matomo installation, for instance. But what about personal data in general? Well, personal data can be defined as simple things as IP addresses, as we mentioned before, email addresses, zip codes, social security numbers, etc., etc. This list you've probably seen. This means that when we're setting up tracking, we do not want to store these things in Matomo. And usually this is not something people do, even though there are issues, of course, sometimes. But more problematic is the fact that data in combination with other data that identifies an individual is also to be considered as personal data. And the best example I have of this is when you start to store location information. So in this example, I have a little village in Sweden with 55 inhabitants. It's called Lomträsk. So now you know a bit of Swedish as well. The interesting part here is if you store that dimension of data together with your page views, you can start to get problems pretty quickly. So think about the other meta information or metadata you store in analytics or in your Matomo installation. The first one would be like, let's say we have a custom dimension with the profession, or maybe someone has been searching for a job or something that we can identify a job role here. Or we can identify that this is a the language is Turkish in the browser, and maybe we can identify that this is a woman. Yeah, you can think about how quickly how easy it starts to get to identify this person just from these quite anonymous combinations of data. We can continue. Just an unusual mobile phone would actually be a problematic thing here. Maybe everyone in Lomträsk knows who has an iPhone of a specific model, or you can find that in an image on Facebook or whatever, and you can start to identify visitors here. So that leads us to that personal data is not something fixed. We need to continuously monitor this, and we need to continuously be able to act. And what we also need to know is that when we include other services on our website, we're sharing this information with them. So if you add, most of them are big in Sweden, but it's a lot of things that you need to look into and make sure that you're not sharing data with. I actually created a little tool. It's actually a JavaScript. So if you go to my GitHub profile, what this one does is that I'm actually gonna show you. So if I copy this code, and I can basically do this on any website. So let's do it on matomocamp.org and see if we are okay here. I'm gonna open the inspect. I'm gonna just paste this little script, and what it will do is to start requesting. Okay, this one was pretty good. We only included one external script, and the country it was requesting was Germany. So let's do this at the Swedish government again and see how well they are behaving. I'm going to go there and I'm going to paste the JavaScript. And now we're requesting a lot of websites, and I can actually see that they improved since I picked on them. From all of these sites, we are pulling different scripts, and here you can see the country from where they are requested. So they did pretty good. That was not the scenario 6 months ago. And this is good, because this means that even though they share data with these players, they are at least they're even in Sweden here. So if they have a contract with them not to share data with anyone else, we're actually legally safe, which wouldn't be the case if the country of the scripts would be the United States. And one very common thing is to use CDN networks to load JavaScript, for instance, and that would be a problem. So what do we do when the accident occurs? So since storing personal data is something you should actually plan for that you will do, that's usually how I talk to my clients. You can't really stop this from happening. You need to plan for when it happens. So you have to have the routines in place to act when you find personal data in your analytics. And this is the action plan I usually show. So first we need to assess how severe this is. I mean, how sensitive is the data that we have leaked? As quickly as possible, we will prevent further collection, so data is not collected more than necessary. In Sweden, we actually have to decide within 72 hours after the incident. We noticed the incident to our reporting organization, basically for GDPR and data leakage. What we need to do after this is, of course, to try to clear or anonymize the data. We need to document the incident. And potentially inform the victims, like if users' data was really sensitive, we might have to contact them even. And then I usually say that, like, let's have a retrospective to see if we can avoid that this happens again. Usually this is about training, because most of these mistakes are personal, but not always. Sometimes there are technical solutions. Clearing data, though, is something that we need to work pretty much with. And that's actually something that is possible if you're using Matomo, but it's not necessarily easy because you can. So deleting data in Matomo usually looks like this. First of all, you have to find the data. You have to identify the actual visitors and the raw data. So you have to find the visitor IDs that are affected. You need to delete these visits. We'll show you some examples soon. And then you need to reprocess your visitor log so that the aggregated data reports are updated. So for instance, if you find an email address in your page view report, you would first need to find the visitors that sent this data in and delete those. And then you need to reprocess your aggregated reports for the dates when that data was stored. So that's quite a big job to do that. And one thing you can do to start monitoring this is actually to use a plugin called the Alert plugin. And in that plugin, you can start to set up rules to identify personal sensitive information. And I will show you an example of this. So what you do is that you, for instance, if you want to start monitoring your page views, you can set up an alert and you can use the regular expression. In the example here, I'm matching a date, but I will give you some. And then if we have more than one page view containing a date, I will get an alarm or a report that, that at least highlights that I need to look at this. So an example here is that you can find a lot of regular expressions online. So in this case, I have the example of an email address. So let's monitor if we have email addresses in our events or our page views, and ping me if that happens. And finally, you can combine these into a long string so you don't have to create individual reports for every monitor you have. The drawback of this is that the alert plugin will only process once a day or every night. You can't do that more often. And it's also hard to identify something like a name or something like that. So it's only data that is quite easy to identify that you can find this way. Once you find it, you can use a tool called GDPR tools and try to delete things that way. You need to find the visitor ID. And when you do so, you can delete that. You can also use the API, the example below. If you have a lot of data, you can create a script and call the API many times. So let's see. Yes, and I can also show you what is a bit problematic. So in this case, I look at the pages report, and now I'm just simulating. But let's say that this is my name on our site, so it's not really personal data. But what if I wanted to delete this information because it's sensitive? So what I would do is to click on this one, segmented visitor log. So when I click this one, I will actually get the visits. And in this case, I even have a little JavaScript in my browser. So I actually have a little button here that allows me to delete this directly. But otherwise, you can hover on the IP address and you can actually find the visitor ID up there. You can probably see it in the screen. This is the information that you need to grab and then use in the GDPR tools and apply it here. It's called, visitor ID. So you can actually steal this little number. So as you see, it's starting to get quite time consuming. If you have a lot of personal data, this is a terribly time consuming job. This little JavaScript helps me. What it actually does is that it calls the API. I have just created a link to that. It's actually this. It's actually this little line here, and I automatically add the ID visit to delete it. So the idea I have for the future is to actually build a PII monitoring plugin for Matomo. And that plugin would, first of all, set up some predefined rules to identify things like email addresses, credit card numbers, etc., so that we have alarms. I would also set it up to watch more types of data directly, like events, page views, referral URLs. You can come up with a lot of ideas. I would also make it possible to add exceptions. Maybe you try to identify something that is actually okay. So you want to add an exception to that. I would also like to make it easy to delete data. So the report would actually give me all the visitor IDs and make it possible to delete them directly. I would also like it to be possible to just anonymize the data and not maybe delete it. So let's say I found a credit card number, but I still want to have the traffic stored in my website. I just want to anonymize that information. But that's not really possible today unless you write SQL scripts. So these are kind of the ideas that I have around this plugin. It shouldn't be too hard to do the basics. The hard part is, of course, to start monitoring combinations of data. Like it would be possible, impossible almost, to do what I showed you with the small village, Lomträsk, and identify those individuals. All right, so the last slide actually, or the second last slide, but usually this is what I recommend people to look into if you want to secure your web analysis. So first of all, collect consents from your visitor and inform them that you are tracking. This is all from the GDPR. Check your data collection, avoid the obvious collection of personal identifying information, and set up your Matomo instance properly. That means anonymizing IP addresses, not storing data longer than needed, etc., etc. Also make sure to manage the quality of your application so they are not sending personal identifying information, because that's normally one of the issues we have when we get bad data. It's often the applications that are wrong. Also make sure to secure your technical infrastructure. The service has to be within Europe and it has to be owned by a European company. You can't use cloud providers in Europe because you're invalidating GDPR by doing so. Also make sure to limit the time for how long you store data. And make sure to have processes in place to monitor data and make sure that you know how to act when you find problems. All right, so that was the last slide. I think it's time for questions.
Then thank you for this very interesting talk. If there are any questions, please post them or write them down in the corresponding chat. There's been some small discussion of the privacy test.
Yeah, and nice.
I will share it if that's all right for you.
Yeah, I saw that. Nice, Lucas. That one, of course, it's a good thing. So who wants to help me write the PII plugin? Lucas, are you ready to help? Check my calendar. Yeah, of course. It's the same here, I think. But it's definitely just something I think a lot of people would appreciate. All right. So if we don't have more questions, I'm going to say thank you for today and hope you enjoyed it. I'm pretty tired now, so I'm going to have a really nice weekend with my family, maybe go out and pick some mushrooms and be outside.
There would be one last question if you would be willing to answer that.
Yeah.
Is there any other kind of information apart from cookies and JavaScript code, codes sent to third parties?
I mean, anything you basically include, so it would be fonts, images, anything you request might actually share that information.
Thank you for that. And if there aren't any other questions, which I think there aren't, then yes, enjoy a long weekend.
Yes, thank you. Let's see. Maybe more questions come. We'll see.
Oh yeah, ton of them. Or maybe they're just thanking you for the great talks.
We'll see. Waiting a few seconds.
Yes. It seems to be the case that there aren't any more questions coming.
Let's have a nice weekend. That sounds good.
Yeah. So let's call it here.
Yeah.
As always, if there are any other questions, can still be asked. And yeah, have a great day, have a great weekend.
Yes,
thanks for your
too.
talks.
Bye.